Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, yeah, you're in. We'll go around the NFL right now. Again, appreciation to Brevin Jordan for sitting down with us not too long ago. You'll hear that again a little bit later on in the program. But let's go around the NFL. A lot of things happening as Tramp continues to ramp up all the way across the league. But we'll stay here in Houston, as Sheldon Rankins was just talking to the assembled media, and I found this deeply interesting, Lopez. One of the things that he revealed to the media, he revealed that he was very sick last year with the Bengals, said that he had had shingles and meningitis at the same damn time. Couldn't sit up and eat for about 2.5 months, he said. Lost more than 50 pounds as he was bedridden. All of this I'm seeing per Will Kunkel. And then, you know, lost more than 50 pounds. Wasn't able to eat much nor work out. Dropped down to 255. Jeez. From a typical playing weight of 300. And obviously you never want to hear that type of report for a guy, especially a guy that is such a good guy as Sheldon Rankins. However, I'd be remiss or I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't kind of happy to hear that.
Sure.
From the perspective of he had a no good, very bad season last year, mm-hmm. I think, for Sheldon Rankin's situations. And I was wondering, is that some level of indication of what he still has in the tank? And for Sheldon Rankin's to put this out here, I think that for me that clears up some of I can lean on. This is the situation that probably had his play not at the level that he typically has, as opposed to what the player still has within.
We've all been there, you know, at some level, whether it's a virus or something more serious like this. I mean, it just affects everything about your life, and you just don't quite feel the same. I'm right there with you. I was like, okay, cool. Not that he had this affliction, this sickness, but I think it does speak to the level of you know, sort of expectation that we should have this year. And, oh, by the way, he's looked pretty dang good from what we've seen. So, you know, he does look like he's back. He's bigger, you know, again, and certainly seems to be in a good place, you know, in terms of performing.
Yeah. So appreciation to Sheldon Rankins giving us a little bit of that insight.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's his information. He did not have to, but it does shed a little light on his season with the Bengals. Some other things around the NFL. We were talking about Christian Wilkins and the weird situation that happened with the Raiders. Last year, he was a big-time free agent signing for the Raiders, and this year he is getting released with a lot of his guaranteed money being knocked off, and then him having a grievance filed with the NFLPA to try and recoup some of that money. Well, the reporting upon the release was that this was all based off of a will-he-won't-he on how he rehabs a foot injury, a Jones fracture. Well, Josina Anderson gave us more information, saying that sources with the team were careful to not give too many details, but that there was kind of a weird incident, supposedly, within there. It seems like there was more things happening, saying league sources believed an incident involving a teammate may have factored in part into the Raiders' fatigue and release of Christian Wilkins. And obviously there's more details with that, but generally I think, you know, again, you have a big name, hit the market. We talked about it on Friday. Texans fans look up and go, ooh, interior defensive lineman, would we?
No.
I think that this, even more than the idea that he had a Jones fracture that was kind of lingering, is a very big, not a Texan,
and it's unfair and it's too bad, but you know where your mind immediately go, where mine did anyway, incident with another player. It almost feels like it was some sort of, whether it was a fight or, you know, some private matter that they got into some sort of difficulties. We don't know. We'll probably never know. But that's a sure way to get your ticket out of town.
I'm like,
sure,
what level of incident do you have to have?
You let your mind wander incorrect.
For us to get you out of here,
mm-hmm.
in order behind like some incident? Because this is the thing that we have to remember. These teams, as much as people are really great about having, you know, camaraderie and coming together, and we're very blessed here in Houston to have that, they are also workplace environments.
They're
people.
You'll
be hard-pressed to find a workplace environment with 90-plus people where everybody likes everyone else. You know, like, there's going to be instances where people don't like each other. But I'm like, did somebody sleep with somebody's girlfriend
or
something?
Well, that's where mine went. I'm glad you said it.
In order to get to this level where it's like, or did somebody do a bad business deal where you are? Because it really is. It's like, you mess with my money.
Yeah.
You mess with my woman. You mess with my family. I think is when you get to the real I do not like you, I will never like you type situation.
This was, to me, no matter what you thought it might be, this was a personality conflict that was irreparable.
Yeah.
In my mind. We could be dead wrong, but it sure has all the markings of that.
Speaking of conflicts that at one point seemed irreparable but have now been remedied, Shamar Stewart.
How about Shamar Stewart?
He will be a Bengal this year. He's in camp. They have finally reached an agreement on how they get to their space.
They decided to go ahead and pay him, didn't they?
In a way. So the standoff between number 17 overall pick Shamar Stewart and the Bengals came to an end. The holdout happened for a while. He signs his contract. The numbers obviously are going to be there. Those are slotted. We knew that. 4-year, almost $19 million, fully guaranteed, which was always going to be the expectation. The part that was there was the controversial clause that would allow Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, to recoup money in the event of, like
some off-field issue.
Detrimental conduct incident.
Yeah.
Well, the Bengals reportedly changed the clause, but it's not dropped entirely. It was softened enough that Shamar Stewart agreed. And I don't know what that means.
It was a bigger guarantee. I think they're going to be able to guarantee more money even if they do get out of it. And I think that would keep him happy.
Okay, so maybe they can't recoup all the guarantee or less of the guarantee can be recouped in those situations. Okay, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, it took us a long time to get didn't it?
How hard was that?
Very, apparently.
I mean, for them, it's always hard.
Everything is difficult out there. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. Kenny Pickett, who is one of, five quarterbacks that are out there in Cleveland, one of four who was actually going to have an opportunity to do anything. He suffered a hamstring injury on Saturday, which obviously makes that quarterback competition a little more interesting. I think that some people look at it and go, okay, now it's Flacco's starting job. Does this at all change your perspective on what's happening there with the quarterback? Do you feel that Jalen Gabriel has a better shot? And obviously the big thing that I imagine a lot of national media will be talking about in the week leading up to the, the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Where is Shador now?
Well, Shador is fourth on your depth chart, at least in terms of reps, it seems like. And you ask if does it change anything? Not really. I think, they're going to try to go with Kenny Pickett, but they sure do like having Joe Flacco there as a backup plan that's proved. Remember the first day, I believe, maybe 2 days of camp, Flacco didn't even do anything. Well, now he's taking reps with the first team. It's like just get sharp. I think they're good with those top two guys.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It remains just to be a very interesting thing. And honestly, I don't know how much the Browns are going to hurt from Kenny Pickett not losing a little bit of time here. I don't know that that was a decision that they should have made. To be completely honest,
I agree with you.
Maybe a little bit of a hater thing to say, but it'd be like that sometimes. Some other things around the NFL. Evan Engram, apparently, who was previously with the Jaguars last year, obviously we saw him a couple of times. He now is with the Denver Broncos, and he made a point that I found to be kind of interesting, saying it was easy to be one of the first ones in the building with Jacksonville, and he says that now it's much harder in Denver because of the culture.
It was so funny. It was just funny to read it. I got to work to be the first one in, first one out, last one out here in Denver because the culture is so good. He's like, oh, that was easy in Jacksonville. To be fair, Jacksonville has changed again, so maybe the things are going to be.
Oh, with the Magnificent Gladstone, of course.
We'll see. We'll see about that. But it was a mess. It was a mess, and you could tell that he was happy to get out of there.
Yeah, 100%. But it makes sense. Like, that Doug Peterson regime clearly was not in a good space. So maybe that doesn't mean all that much. But I found that to be kind of funny, a shot at an AFC South rival. And before we go, a couple of things. Obviously, I will get you your top 100 player or players of the day. But first, Sean McVay gave full comments this weekend to NFL Network when it came to Matthew Stafford, saying, quote, he's still good. We're going to be week to week with him, though. I think when you look at it, the end goal is September 7th when we open against the Texans. He's going into year 17. We were going to take a modified approach, had some soreness in his back. When you really look at it, he feels really good about a plan. And then obviously goes further talking about they have the luxury of a player like him and so on and so forth. But again, when we talk about not seeing time in the preseason, this is another space where it will be intriguing to see Matthew Stafford, one of CJ's idols, for lack of a better term. But he's been dealing with a back injury since last year, and it's lingering to the point of they are really not giving him a lot of burn in training camp. And it seems like this is writing it off all the way to week one.
Yeah.
that could open up some spaces, especially against the Texans defense, for turnovers or maybe just lackluster play.
Yeah, I totally agree. And maybe not being – he's never been the most mobile, but maybe even suffering in terms of his mobility a little bit as well. Normally, I would sit here and I'd say Matt Stafford, one of the best there's ever been, one of the toughest, unquestionable, that there's ever been, he'll be fine. But a couple of things have me pausing. Number one, it's a back. You know, the back, we've all dealt with some back stuff here and there. Most of us have. That's going to affect you long term, especially when the clock does catch up to everyone. I don't care how good you are and how tough you are. The clock does catch up. It's good news for the Texans, but Matt Stafford, normally I'm like, he'll be fine. I'm not like that right now.
And trick backs don't stop tricking. It's something I like saying. All right, real quick before we go, your top 100 players of the day from the top 100, NFL's top 100 that was voted on by players. Number 60. Cooper DeJean, the cornerback for the Eagles, who apparently has been playing safeties because y'all don't like let white people play cornerback for some reason. I don't understand that. And then number 59, funny enough, quarterback Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm. He is 59, falls 17 spots from last year. Looks like CJ's above his guy, Matt Stafford.
I'll say it again. Is he?
We will find out.
Is he?
We are still waiting for the first Texan on this list. I never thought we would get this far into this.
But it's good news for the Rushans because they're going to be way up in the top.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true. And yes, you're right, Brandon, on the YouTube page. It will make it easier against the Rams if Stafford and Alaric Jackson, one of their tackles, is out for week one, which does, I believe, he will be. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL. Coming up next, let's talk about the Astros real quick. Of course, not the best weekend, I guess you could say, for the Astros as they get swept by the Athletics. But we're 4 days to the trade deadline. What needs to happen now? We'll talk about it next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Yeah, we are at Training Camp 2025, and shout out to Nico Collins, because it's been at the very least, 10 minutes he's been signing autographs, and I don't think that he's going to be done anytime soon. There is a grip of people still looking for an autograph for number 12, and he is obliging. Always great to see that level of willingness to be there for the people that make this all go, you know?
It really does. And some people, well, I mean, Nico, you know, has a safe spot, so to speak, with this squad. So he can get there when he does there. But man, that's a big big thing for all these people out here.
All right, let's not skip this, even though as much I know a lot of people want to. That was a rough weekend for your Houston Astros, man.
You get swept by the A's. I kept saying that yesterday. They can't get swept by the A's. Four game set, swept by the A's.
And not just swept by the A's. I'm sorry to say, they whipped your tail.
They did.
They whipped your tails, including
what'd you score? Six runs? I think that's what it was.
I didn't even think about
seven.
It was disgusting all the way over the weekend, including a Friday night in which Nick Kurtz, man, this kid. Like, not only did he whoop you up, he also made it very clear. Don't worry about it. Cam Smith, don't worry about no AL Rookie of the Year, brother. Don't even think about it. That's not going your way. First rookie in MLB history to hit four home runs in one game. First player in MLB history to finish a game with at least six hits, six runs, and eight RBIs. How much further do you want me to go? Tied a single game record for total bases at 19 total bases in a game on Friday.
That's a wrap, isn't it? That's a wrap on the old Rookie of the Year.
Like, there's more of them. I'm just refusing to read all of them. Which, I mean, obviously that was a him thing, but also to some degree, this felt like the entirety of the evidence that this team needs trade deadline and they need reinforcements back, like no man's business.
They need to get players back. We had some, I guess, progress on that over the weekend with some pitchers. But here's the thing that I keep going back to. We still won't know. Maybe this is where we are. We won't know what this team is, and I think we can sort of just come to grips with this all year long. Like here we are 100 and whatever games in. Even when they get these guys, if they get these guys back, it'll take some while. Will we know exactly what we're getting and whether it's Garcia or Getty or whatever? Offensively, they get players back. Will we know? How long will it take for them to, to establish themselves? They've had some really great moments, but they've had some really bad moments, even with the full squad. And texting with, you know, friends and family over the course of the weekend as we're watching the Astros, I mean, a couple times I said this. I mean, this is why they call it the minor leagues. it's rough out there, man. They got a largely minor or big chunk of it anyway is a minor league roster, and it looked like it.
Yeah, and I think the thing for me was that this was a sign that we've reached the end of just being able to make it off of timely hitting, and really importantly, I think the starting pitching is waning, and that's where I think starting pitching is just going to have to be guys coming back, because it feels like you need two bats now.
You do.
Like, it doesn't even feel like it's just one bat. Obviously, the return of Jeremy Payne will be cool. I'm done waiting on Christian Walker to be, like, the Christian Walker that you would hope for this year.
What about Yordan? What about Myers?
Yordan returning back would be very helpful. Mm-hmm. But when do you think that is?
And it goes back to my point that I said, even though Yordan's back, you still won't really know, you know, all year long.
And that's why you need to port two bats.
Yeah, that you know about.
And that very much takes you, at least in my estimation, I think you need two bats, especially obviously give you a little bit of left-handedness so you have the ability to kind of work your lineup a little bit better. But then it feels like you need somebody else on the infield, particularly third base, with what we learned about Isak Paredes.
It really does. And, oh, by the way, add another name to the injured list with Brandon Walter getting –
which stinks because
being the latest,
he's been one of the guys that's been giving you a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. He's been able to give you a little bit. So yeah, no, that this was a real sobering weekend for the Astros. But it, in a way, I kind of appreciate it for it. And this might just be me trying to find a way to make chicken salad out of you know what. But you got 4 days to the trade deadline, and I think it's been made abundantly clear what's needed for you.
One of each.
When you say one of each, what?
Pitcher and a hitter or two hitters?
I think you go two hitters with what – I mean, again, I don't know how much you can expect to be able to actually get with what you have, prospect-wise.
Yeah.
And so I think it's two batters, and then – because your offense just needs to be significantly better. But it's going to need to be Fromber and Hunter, obviously, being what you asked, but it's going to need to be some of these guys that are coming back off of their rehab starts – and very relatively quickly, hopefully. As
well. And what happened after that little run shortly before the All-Star break of Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers, where we're like, oh boy, they just keep doing it. Now, I know there's been some roster changes and lineup changes since then, but just collectively, it's kind of fallen off a cliff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the longer that you are asked to have a particular feat, like
hold the line.
The longer you're asked to hold the line, the harder it becomes, and the more likely that there is a level of falter. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like. They faltered. Yeah. They've faltered in this space. And so it's incumbent upon Dana Brown, and I'm sure that he's doing that. All the reporting seems to trend towards they're looking at guys. Eugenio Suarez continues to be a big name. Yeah. Although the thing that kind of scares me about him is the bat is there. The defense isn't.
The defense is not.
Are you going back to that space again? But what a choice do you have when the offense has been as sparse as it has of late?
And, you know, as much as we talk about, well, they're still leading the division. I hate to be the one to bring this up, but the Rangers are making a little ground up.
Rangers, Mariners, yeah. And I'm being just a Debbie Downer here. I'll acknowledge it. Looking at Ryan McMahon for the Yankees, mm-hmm. that does feel like that would have been a really good get if you could have gotten him, because he's good with the bat, but he's really good defensively.
Yeah.
But, of course, beggars can't be choosers in this way, and right now it feels like you're getting closer to being a beggar on trying to make sure that you can keep this upright. Again, salute to the Astros for being able to make it to this point. But we've reached the point where, all right, you definitely need some support for what's happening here, because you're starting to see that lead begin to crumble. What is it, a four-game lead on the Mariners and the Rangers?
That's what I'm saying. The Rangers are making some moves.
Had a 9-1 in their last 10, and they are also trying to creep up. And damn, I'd be damned if they do the
oh
thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd be damned. It can't be that. It can't be the Rangers walk you down. Yeah. It cannot be that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I see you, Texter. I see you. I understand. It was a weekend that was rough on the base paths for the Astros on the diamond. However, a good weekend for the history of the Astros. Let's get into what's popping next, including a salute to a Hall of Fame Astro. Billy Wagner will do it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Yeah, let's get into what's popping here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula here. Day five of Houston, Texas training camp 2025 out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center. It's a wrap. Fellas have already taken it in. In fact, we've even managed to get all the people who were hanging around getting autographs. They're also leaving the premises. So been a successful day in which I think the offense had some good success
better, right?
as well. Much better for them. We'll talk more about that coming up next. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans and everything. We'll do all of that here in a moment. But I did want to give more time to your Houston Astros. A rough weekend on the diamond. Also a rough weekend in some ways. Dana Brown was talking to the flagship for the Astros, and he gave a little bit more about Isak Paredes. I guess maybe I misremembered that. Was that Friday or was that Saturday? But he said that Isak's hamstring strain is, quote, a little bit more severe than we projected.
I actually, first of all, appreciated the candor because I think that's very easy to connect the dots. That's not some vague, you know, sort of we'll see, you know, that the Astros are known to do. I think he's kind of telling us without telling us, don't expect him anytime soon. In fact, sometimes, and this is not part of what he said, but it's part of what I'm going to say, sometimes bad hamstring injuries need surgery, man. They just do.
And even if it doesn't need surgery, hamstrings take a while. Like, that soft tissue is tough. He went further to say it's tough to be optimistic when you know it's more severe.
Yeah.
And if the Astros are telling you they're not optimistic,
then it's bad.
Which, again, leans into the idea, the trade deadline, it feels like, and look, I know that Eugenio Suarez is also Venezuelan. He's a Venezolano, as is obviously one of the best Houston Astros of all time, Jose Altuve.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder if that plays any level of a part in the possibility of acquiring him. But, yeah, man, it's clear that third base is going to be something that they're going to need to contend with.
We all get Yordan, you know, at his best, maybe the best hitter in baseball. But given what Yordan was and what you're getting out of him and then the injury, you couldn't have had a bigger injury than Paredes.
He's been a bellwether. He's been a guy who's continued. Jeremy Peña would be the same, but you already lost him for a period of time. So Isak Paredes being there was a constant, and then you take that hit. I mean, the Astros, you talk about adversity for a baseball team. They've dealt with quite a bit. But, of course, unfortunately, there's not a trophy nor a ring for adversity. It's just can you get it done. So that is where Dana Brown and the entirety of the Astros now have to focus their attention. How do they continue to find a way to get it done? A man who got it done many a times as a reliever and now has taken his forever place in Cooperstown, Billy Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to watch his speech?
I watched his, yes.
It was incredible. He had a moment where he did, because I don't know if everybody's familiar, hopefully you are, at Cooperstown when they do have this, they have all the living Hall of Famers there on the stage with them, which obviously for the Astros includes Craig Biggio and Baggy, as Billy Wagner referred to him as. And this was Billy Wagner actually speaking to those teammates live in the from the podium as he was giving his acceptance or his induction speech.
It was Craig Biggio. Bish, even though you whined and complained about pitchers, I still loved you. You brought consistency every day, and your competitive fire helped drive me to be my very best. Thank you. Baggy, where do I start? It wasn't your words. You are a man of few words. It was your look, your glare. That's what let everyone know if things were okay or if we needed to get our act together. I loved your grit. You taught me one of baseball's greatest lessons, how to show up and play after a bad day. No excuses. You showed me what a big leader looks like, and your friendship means the world to me.
So that last part, I was just sort of nodding my head. If you were around the Astros at that time, and I was damn near on a daily basis because I was working at the Chronicle and covering this team, talk about a pro's pro. Billy Wagner didn't have a lot of bad days, but when he did give it up, late home run or something like that, that dude stood there and talked and answered questions and was accountable and was affable. I've often said, you've heard me say it multiple times, my all-time favorite Astro was Jeff Bagwell.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to him was Billy Wagner. Very approachable, very good, and my goodness, I've been on this, you know, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for dang near 15, 20 years, and I used to vote for him when I had a Hall of Fame vote every single year. I couldn't have been happier with what he did.
Yeah, it's interesting because watching the speech, you could tell it was not as smooth as, you know, it's mm-hmm. like an MC delivering, which obviously is not the expectation. But for a guy like Wagner, you could tell that, you know, He's a little more reserved
heartfelt.
As a dude, but it was incredibly heartfelt. You could tell he was holding back. Mm-hmm. He was holding back, you know, fighting back some of the tears in order to get through it. And you could tell, as you mentioned, it was heartfelt. And he had a lot of love for the Houston Astros and the organization here. As obviously he goes in as an Astro, yet another one for the Astros in Cooperstown. Well deserved from Billy Wagner. As at one point he talks about him being 5-0 and 100-0, yeah. Which obviously was a fun little exaggeration, but nah, man, you could tell the level of appreciation he has for everyone and all the people that helped him be the incredible fireballer that he
And was. Also keep in mind, you just mentioned it, fireballer. When he pitched, not everybody was throwing 100 miles an hour or 98 True. Miles an hour. It was a moment, you know, when he would come in and the crowd would go nuts. And he'd hit 101, 102. And starting pitchers, you know, good was 94, 95. And so he was just lighting fools up. And with a left hand, you know, being a left-handed pitcher, which...
But not inherently left-handed, though.
Exactly. But what people always say, when, you know, left-handers, their ball just always moves. You can't, you know, Milo Hamilton used to say all the time, a left-hander's never thrown a straight ball. Just an overwhelming talent and absolutely well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. So, again... Salute to Billy Wagner, much deserved and really a pride mm-hmm. pride for the city. And you mentioned it, like long time coming. It was really, really cool to see that happen as he goes in. A lot of great speeches, CC. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave Parker.
Ichiro.
Dave Parker. Ichiro, obviously. He stole the show. They knew what they were doing having him have him be the closer of that situation. Some really funny situation. It really does make me, though, want to think about the various different interactions with Ichiro that we kind of have ideas about, but we haven't heard specifically. Because that dude is hilarious.
He's funny. He is absolutely funny. And I think you guys know how I feel about him, too. I think he should absolutely be mentioned as one of the all-time greatest at the very top of the heap.
All right, so a little bit more audio here. This is from another Houston legend, but a Houston rap legend, Lil Kiki, talking about another Houston legend, Andre Johnson. Apparently, there's a fool out here in the city of Houston, because if you don't think this Houston will ride down for Andre Johnson, you're crazy. This is Lil Kiki doing a little bit of reporting himself and actually trying to bargain in some ways with the city of Houston to get Andre's stuff back.
H-Town, you know how much we love this city, how much this city love us. Tastemakers, entertainers, athletes, rappers, hardworking people, entrepreneurs, it don't matter. We love this city because this city love us back. Andre Johnson is my brother. He's the first Houston Texan Hall of Famer. He dedicated his life here, his career here, and also he resides here as a Houstonian. That makes it much, much more important. Man, we family, and it's a family message. Over the weekend, somebody broke into my brother's home, took some items that represent his legacy, represent his dedication, his hard work, his family. We need to recover that and get that back. This is not like a car. This ain't like a jersey hanging around. This represents his career and his family for real. Let's come together as a Houston family and put our ears to the street, put our nose to the ground, and find out who got these items, and let's recover them and get them back to our brother. They represent much, much more than some money or something like that. He family, we family. Let's get that did. Big salute, Houston.
How dumb do you have to be?
Very. Or you just don't know. Like, because I was like, is this possibly someone who's like not from Houston or not does not live here that has parachuted in? Like, because again, remember around NFL, you know, very, very many like a. Joe Burrow, a number of guys yeah. had their stuff.
Oh, I think this
in,
might so. Be part of that. Not the same, but
yeah, because that group got caught.
Yeah,
right?
That group got caught. But there are organizations, we've seen it all over in all sports, that sort of target, you know, the players when they're not around, and they are professional. It's not just, you know, a smash and grab or anything like that. I mean, it's a professional, you know, of burglary, and I do think that this is one of those that is. They're going to get caught. I mean, I think most get caught. This one is definitely going
to
get caught.
And honestly, it'd be better to not get caught. Like, it'd be better to, like, hey, just bring that stuff back. You don't think so, Aaron? Aaron's over there is like, nah, man. Here's the problem, right? I imagine that you might catch a little more leniency if you bring that back than if they catch you out here in these streets.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't mean to make be glib about something like that. However, that's Lil Kiki talking. I was like, don't let Jay Prince get out here talking, because then it's real issues. Is there one? Is there a single person, maybe there's one person I could think of who it would be like worse to wrong than Andre Johnson.
Not a lot.
There are very few people in this city.
Who were you thinking of, JJ?
I was thinking maybe JJ.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But Andre, D'Amico. Andre, you don't want Andre to get to you. Forget it. Forget the people that have Andre's back.
Treat you like Corlin Finnegan one time.
You don't want Andre to get to you.
That's a big dude. He was out here again at practice, and we know he's nice in hands.
Man.
Yeah, I just can't believe. And the way that it was being talked about by Lil Kiki there, it's not jerseys, it's not just the car, but it's stuff that represents his legacy.
Yeah.
I was like, yo.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I'm interested in like what kind of memorabilia or whatever that we're talking about in that instance. But then also,
I'm wondering about like Hall of Fame stuff and, you know, Pro Bowl and All Pro stuff. And you
good
know.
Answer by Rob here. Hakeem. Yeah, you getting run down behind Hakeem. Now, this is the thing. Hakeem might actually protect you. He might pray for you and protect you. But outside of that, all of us on the outside that are.
I still say Andre.
Andre. So, yeah, if first and foremost, Lil Kiki was literally asking everybody, put your ears to the street.
Yeah.
See what you can hear. So I will also pass on that message. Keep your ears and eyes out for anything of that nature. But yeah, also I can't imagine. Somebody said Reggie's putting out a bounty on Lobby. I ain't do nothing.
Hey.
I'm just passing along messages in the city of Houston. What's popping? This is popping.
It's
man. This
presumed.
Matters.
It's presumed there will be repercussions.
I am not doing anything. I am just advising anybody. If you happen to be under the
you made a
of my
big
voice,
mistake.
you hey, we can fix this. Fix it while it's fixable.
Yeah.
Before it gets to a place where it's not fixable. Mm-hmm. It really sucks for Andre, man. He doesn't deserve that at all, one bit. All right, but that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. A couple of things that I did want to mention. The Cleveland Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase placed on the non-disciplinary paid leave as part of a sports betting investigation. That's a big name that possibly mm-hmm. was tradable at this trade deadline. So a big-time reliever apparently going down, and now the sports betting thing gets even bigger. Man, this is going to snowball into a problem.
It already is, it seems like. We've been talking about it here and there, on and off, a lot.
Yeah, so there's that. And then also, programming note. Tomorrow, obviously, everybody loves the Texans. You're all invested in that. Tomorrow, you hear from Nick Casario on with Sean and Seth on Payne and Pendergast tomorrow morning. A
couple of full segments.
Yeah, man, of course. They always get them for damn near 40, 45 minutes from 7:15 a.m. tomorrow. That'll be live right here at the Houston Methodist Training Center. So you want to make sure that you tap into that. He's always very good about being open and even more so talking to Sean and Seth. So appreciate you guys for rocking with us here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll jump back into notes from training camp. As you hear, they're keeping the fields. They're keeping them pretty. And we'll talk about what happened on these fields as we hear from the head coach of the team, D'Amico Ryans, next.